Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
If you love being in a girl group, this is totally for you.
Some people call us overwhelming.
Yeah. Love it or leave it, we don't care. No, but we want you here.
Yeah. Welcome
to you can sip with us. It's fall season, baby.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Colleen. It is very... Are you feeling the fall vibes as much as I am?
No. We just went to the zoo and I sweat my ass off.
Oh, how hot
it's
is it?
I mean, I think we've been home for an hour and my bra is still wet from sweat.
I hate being hot. It makes
and
me
it's
so cool. Fussy. It's like,
oh, God. Yeah, I hate it. We thought it was going to be cooler today because it's only 92. Well, now it's 95, but it was only 92. But... yeah, now false alarm, folks.
Yeah.
I don't recommend the zoo right now.
It's not 90s here, but in Oregon, it's like 80s. 80.
So are you feeling fall?
I am, but we also did some fall activities this week.
Yeah.
And we have pumpkins on our porch. So
that's very fall.
That sets the whole mood, right? Every time you come and go. It's 82 right now. It's going to be 84 today.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's nice, but I get hot.
I mean, that is warm. That's still warm.
Like everything we've done outside this week or weekend, I've just been really hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unexpectedly.
It's not. I don't do well with the heat.
I get very cranky very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling better?
I am feeling better. I'm sleeping better, but I'm still really congested. I hope I don't have like a sinus infection because I feel like now it's been over a week that I've and they're like, they usually say that's kind of a long time to have, like,
you might need something else drainage to kick it.
Yeah So I feel better, sleeping better, coughing still but not like terribly. If you guys missed it, we recorded Patreon. We do a second episode a week over on Patreon, patreon.com/youcansipwithus, and that's like the behind the scenes. So we show up as we are on that show. And Colin and I were both in recovery. Her from the Rona.
COVID. Yeah.
Yep. That took the lewd house down. And then me just from a standard cold, I think. I don't know.
And your kids are fine?
Myself. Yes.
John's fine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. John had a cough for like 6 hours.
Oh.
That guy. I have no idea. His immune system is just next level.
Yeah.
So yeah, he had a cough for an evening. And then by the time he woke, he had no issues sleeping, and then by the time he woke up, he was fine. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah, I'm feeling better.
Are you sipping on anything?
How are you guys feeling?
Fine. I mean, at this point, it's been for Chris 12 days since he tested positive, and me, like, 9 or 10. So we're through it.
Okay, great.
You know, we're through
it. We made it through. Yes, I am sipping something. I am sipping a hard seltzer neutral pineapple flavor. And then I brought a backup of a hard kombucha.
Oh, nice.
What are you sipping?
A matcha. Because I haven't... So, okay, we were in this little bit of a limbo today on if we were going to record or not record today.
Yes.
And so I was very much thinking we're not going to record. And so when you text, I was going to go do a run. I was like in my running pants, in my running everything. And so my... Because the kids are down, right? So it's like kids go down. It's like run, shower, eat, kids wake up. And so then I'm like, okay, rework, podcast, maybe run if there's time. That's where we're at.
So no drinking.
I was like,
I
didn't want to, you know, but that's okay. Right. It's all right.
Yeah.
So it didn't really sound good anyway. Still kind of being on the tail end of it all, you know? Yep. A hot toddy, though. That sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good to me. but it's, you guys, spooky season here on the pod. And it's kind of like a fall kickoff today. And one of the episodes we've been really wanting to do is an episode we actually did a long time ago, which is how to fall in love with anyone.
4 years ago, really, right? Wasn't it?
Yes.
2018?
Yes.
I think it was like winter 2018.
Article from the New York Times that is titled The 36 Questions That Lead to Love. And these are 36 questions in a study broken up into three sets. The idea is that mutual vulnerability fosters closeness. And so Ashley and I did this challenge 4 years ago to see, do we know each other as well as we think?
Uh-huh.
How vulnerable can we get? And can we fall even deeper in love with one another?
Mm-hmm.
And so then someone wrote back and they said, I've been binging all your episodes. So I know who you got. This listener said, I know who you guys are today, but I know who you were 4 years ago when you recorded that. And I think your answers now would be so different. And that I thought was so interesting because of course they would.
That's so fascinating.
We've become parents. We're very different people than we were four years ago.
Very different humans.
So to kick off fall, can we fall back into this depth of vulnerability and even closer with who we are today?
Uh-huh.
Which is such a fun challenge. And then for all of you, I think these questions make such a fun like girls night or like your spouse, like date night, you know, and just peeling back the onion of our souls and bearing them. What is happening? Where are you panning over to?
Because Revy, now she knows she's on camera. She's pounding on the window and crying because she wants my attention. But then she saw I put her on the camera, so now she's hiding.
Oh.
Because I locked the door. Like, there's an internal door over there. And then, you know, so I locked that. She's with John. But look at her sadly on the window. I said, I love you. So I'm just showing you
your situation here. Yes.
She's very in love with me. She doesn't need these questions.
No.
She's already deeply in love with me.
Yeah. No need to do this exercise with your children.
Right.
But this is also, before we launch into these, which I'm so excited about, this is a call out for spooky season in general, because the rest of October, you guys, we're bringing the spice and the spook. We've got some true crime coming up. We've got some Halloween fantasy drafts coming up, which you'll find out what that's all about. But
well, they're really fall fantasy drafts, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, that's all spooky season in my mind.
Yeah. Okay.
A call out to all of you for two things. One, if you or someone you know possesses some sort of power, if you're a psychic or you know someone who is, a fortune teller or you know someone who is, a medium or know someone who is, email us at youcansipwithus@gmail.com.
What about like a past detective or like a past something where you like tried a case or you saw like the craziest thing or something haunting or scary or whatever. Just even crime related would be cool. You know,
email us at youcansipwithus@gmail.com because we're looking for a couple guests for spooky season, which could be fun. And then also, every spooky season, we pepper in a few little spooky stories. And so if something spooky has happened to you this year or in years past, an incident with the supernatural, email us your story at youcansipwithus@gmail.com, or even better, leave a voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
On our Instagram, there's at You Can Sip With Us. There's a little button that says like it's a phone icon. Just hit that button. It'll take you straight to voicemail and we can play your voicemail here on the podcast. There's also if there's like video, sometimes there's really cool videos that people send
like
in.
Like the Ring camera stuff.
Yeah. We're, you know, hit us up because it is all fair game this year.
Sometimes the spookiest place to be is in your own mind, but I got something for you. BetterHelp. So BetterHelp is a sponsor of ours, and it is online therapy. And what I love about it It is, you do it right from home. So you go online, fill out a quiz about kind of what you're dealing with, what you're looking for, you know, and of course where you live, because they have to be licensed therapists in your state and in your area. And then it will pair you with a therapist. You can get paired within 24 hours, be on a call right away, sometimes even within 24 hours, depending on the therapist and their availability. And you can do a video chat, a regular call, or even just an online, you know, chat with your hands and your words or whatever. If you've been around for a while, you've heard me say that I have gone on, I've done BetterHelp, and I've switched my therapist a couple of times. One when I didn't feel like it was the right fit, and another time when I was switching what I wanted to work on and the kind of training that I wanted, you know, the expertise. So I have been using them now for a couple years, and I love that you can easily swap and, you know, you don't have to go to like a waiting room or do word of mouth and try to find one. It's all right there. So it has been super convenient for me. It's highly accessible because, again, you're just doing it from home. It's affordable and entirely online. So I haven't found a better therapy system than BetterHelp.
When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/sip today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/sip. Ash, are you ready
to fall in love?
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready. I remember it. This is the very first question. I have not gone back to listen to that episode because I didn't want my old answers to be in my brain, you know?
Yes. Yes.
But I remember that these are hard questions. Uh-huh. Okay. Just now looking at these. Okay. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? Now, I'm going to go with this first. And I'm going to take this and I'm going to pull an Ash, which is bending the question to my will.
Yeah, I was already doing that in my brain.
Because I'm thinking alive or dead. I'm not thinking people alive. And since having Ben, I can't remember if when we did this, Ben was in the world or not. Like since having children is what I mean. I don't think so.
I am envisioning, I have a visual memory. And so I actually, after I said, oh, this was 4 years ago, I think it was fall 2020. I actually feel like it was when Ben was born and he was sitting in like the Butt Blaster 5000 or something, whatever you call that thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was there with us. Like we were in your back, in you know, Chris's in that office. Back room in your old house. So I feel like Ben was a fresh bean, but maybe not.
No, that sounds right. Okay. I don't remember what my old answer was to this, but lately one of the things I can't stop thinking about is how much I wish Chris's dad could meet Ben and Ellie. How much I wish he could see what a wonderful father that Chris has become. And also for my grandmother, never got to meet Ellie. And those are the people that I would like to have as dinner guests. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. I was going to bend and say there's not a single other person that I want to do a one-on-one dinner with. But if it was a group situation, that opens things up. But then as you said that, I had a thought of, I don't know if this is possible, but I would like to have dinner with my younger self, like my me as a kid.
Ooh, cool.
You know.
What would you say? Like, or why?
I think I just talked to her and I know now like the areas that I had needs that weren't met. I have more understanding of that now. And I think also it'd be cool for her to see how it turns out a little bit, you know,
that
everything's going to be okay and not fill in all the details. Cause I think that would make life boring if I knew exactly how things were going to go, but I would just let her know like it's okay. And I'd probably talk to her about her body and the achievement addiction and just like, I think I would just love her, you know,
more. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to be famous in what way?
I would not like to be famous. I don't think in any way, but I would like to be rich. I would like to be Kardashian rich.
I would like to be famous in the way of entertainment. So
like singer?
An actor, an actress.
Okay.
But specifically with a live audience or maybe in movies would be cool to like create in that way. But I think it's less about the fame as it is the opportunity to like have a big stage, like to be able to entertain like that.
Yeah.
To me, would be very cool. Or like to be a famous football player in an arena, like, and to know the feeling of making the big catch.
I mean, that would be cool.
Or like that kind of stuff, you know?
I don't want people, because I don't know, this is going to sound arrogant, but I do feel like I've experienced what fame looks like in my own little world. Like in the Beachbody community, when I was top coach, it was unbelievable. Like people would, I wouldn't even be with my parents and they would stop when it was at a Beachbody thing, stop and ask to take pictures with my parents and stop and ask to take pictures with Revy. And then of course me, you know, and John and stuff. And that was just one little, it's like in a small world. And I feel like that was kind of, it's cool. And I'm glad I had that for a moment, but it's also very overwhelming. And I don't have like the kindness level. Like I'm me, who you would expect to see in person and online. And I don't like, I don't feel like I'm nice enough to be really, people would be saying like, oh, I met Ashley Molson and she's a bitch. Probably like, I don't think people probably said that in that world, but if that was my world all the time, like the way, this sounds so arrogant, but that the way I think of it is like, I kind of experienced, it was a little bit Kardashian level. Like you can't walk anywhere, right? Can't do anything without someone knowing who you are and wanting to talk to you. And everyone was very, very kind. But like you're out to eat and people are just looking at you. Everyone's looking at you. And like, you know, so I feel like if I was a football player, I'd walk by a football player right now. And unless they're Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, I don't really know what any of them look like. So if I was like an anonymous fame or like a director or something, maybe where I wasn't like, I just don't think I'd want it to interrupt every time I go to the grocery store or every time I'm out to eat or you know.
Yeah, for it to invade your life in that way.
And then, well, and it's one thing for me, I feel like it's another for kids. I was totally very uncomfortable with people coming up and like just wanting to take pictures of Revy.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of creepy to me a little bit, you know. So I feel like now having, and I didn't have Mac at the time, but now having Mac and Revy, like if I'm out to eat, I don't really want my kids growing up famous.
Yeah.
That scares me because you see, Hailey Bieber talked about how normal Justin is having been like famous at such a young age. But you hear about how hard that is on all these, you know, these kids that went to like Mickey Mouse Club and they're like famous at a young age, Drew Barrymore or whatever, and how hard it is to grow up in that industry. With all that pressure and the lights on you and attention. And you're not allowed to really be a kid.
Yeah.
So I think if we were famous, there would be some impact on our children. And that scares me more than anything.
Totally. What would you constitute as a perfect day for you?
Oh, my God. That's so hard. I feel like I want to think about in the past, have I had a perfect day?
For me,
because go ahead.
It's waking up and I can feel my answer changing. It's as interesting because I don't know what I answered last time, but I know that's Colleen of today. And it would be to wake up and have a delicious breakfast made for me, right? Without having to do dishes or like for the whole family, delicious breakfast made for the whole family that we can enjoy together. Not having to get up and go out to a restaurant, like it being at the house in our pajamas, beautiful, beautiful breakfast.
Yeah.
And then it would be getting picked up.
Oh.
And being taken on some sort of outdoor adventure, maybe like a guided like family hike or like some sort of beach trip or something outside where we can all have fun and be outside together, where we can be active too, because that to me is like part of a good day. To me is having moved, that's so good for my brain, but also I love family time outside. Coming back to like a hosted, someone else makes it, dinner, barbecue with friends and family over. And then like a small group kids go down, a small group stays for like drinks and games and fun. Mm-hmm. That to me would be perfection.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't like to have too much scheduled stuff. I would want to wake up, but I don't know. I also just started waking up recently early, and I really like that. So part of me was thinking, I want a leisurely first half of the day. Like, I don't really want plans until 2, so I can get up at whatever time. Like, maybe I wake up early, maybe I don't. And I do some reading and I do some journaling and I do some movement for my body. And then I would like to have, I think I'd like to go like wine tasting. I will say, I think that some of the most perfect days I've ever had were in France when I did my trip to France, and it was like planned for us, but they didn't have like the whole day planned. But I don't know if I necessarily need to be in France, because I also am a homebody. So I really like the comfort of home.
Yeah.
You know, but I like the idea of like, okay, we've starting at 4, we've got this wine tasting and we're doing this or whatever with people that I love that I would have fun. It wouldn't be the same people that I went to France with, but I was just thinking about, why was that day so perfect? And it was like a new experience that I didn't have to plan, that was 5-star, amazing food. You get a nice buzz, you know, like a happy buzz, and then move on after wine tasting to a yummy dinner, probably some sort of pasta place, like legit Italian pasta that's gluten-free. And then, yeah, I think probably either going back to one of our houses and doing games, or just staying out at somewhere and like drinking, going back to a hotel or something like that. I don't know. And playing card games and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something about, okay, so this is, I like your answer, because I wasn't thinking of perfect day, like ultimate, like being somewhere like France. I was thinking like kind of what's your ideal day-ish, kind of every day. But vacation nights, being outside with like a nice glass of wine, but then being somewhere with light where you can play games, like with friends. Like,
yes,
if we all had a beautiful like vacation Airbnb,
yes,
on like a coast somewhere beautiful in the world, and like playing games into the night France.
Part of my perfect day could be that Chris's birthday in Tahoe. It would be some of the earlier, and I don't know if you had as good of a time. I mean, I know you had a good time, but you were also pregnant, and that is different when you're like, I get that it was good and it was for Chris and all of that. I know where your heart is, but still there's a part of like, I kind of wish I could be on the level of everyone else.
Yeah. No, I was super fatigued and sober.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every time I reference it, I don't know what you're, if you're like, I mean, that was good, but like, also,
yeah, I mean, I had a great time, but not like epic. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, let's not go back and do exactly the same thing. Let's do it where I can like also do whatever. Right. So, but for me, that was like the first night that we were there was so fun and like easy breezy. And we went and walked out to that dock and everyone was slipping and sliding. We had their drink. Yeah. And everyone was just happy. And you debuted the Live, Laugh, Lude shirts. And like, It was just an energy, and it was such a good group. And then we went out to dinner, you know, and came back and played games. The next day was really good too. I don't know. So
it's
something about, for me, I think it's the people too. Like the energy.
100%. 100%. All right. When did you last sing to yourself, to someone else? There's two questions in one. When did I last sing to myself? I don't sing to myself. Do you sing to yourself?
Well, I don't know what that means. Like, I sing in the car, or I sing like, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I sing Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but I don't sing to myself to like serenade myself, you know?
To soothe yourself.
So I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But I also don't feel like we just sang in the car, and I don't feel like I was singing to her either, like to my kids or I was just singing, you know. I did last night or yesterday I was singing to Revy. Yesterday on the way home from lunch I was singing to Revy in the car.
That's nice.
And like at a stoplight, I turned around. And I was like touching her leg and singing to her. Yes.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, the last person I sang to was Ellie right before her nap.
Well, that's and true. Yeah, I guess
I was making up a song. You know, I was rhyming Eleanor with that I'd love her forevermore and just singing.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or body of a 30-year-old, this one's confusing. For the last 60 years of her life, which would you want? Okay, no. Next.
Well, I think I get that. Basically, do you want your mind or your body to deteriorate? And I think I want my mind to deteriorate. I think
really?
Because I look at it. Yes, because I look at it like John's dad has Parkinson's, which is the his body is failing him. And when and it's the same thing with like ALS or, you know, some other diseases where you do not have control over your body, but your mind is clear and sharp. And it is so, I imagine it would be so freaking maddening and frustrating to be trapped in a body. But if you lose your mind, you're kind of like happy. Like, I feel like people that have dementia and stuff, they don't realize as much. Like, it's not as painful. It's painful for other people, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's painful either way. But yeah. I definitely don't want, I would rather lose my mind and just not be aware of it than be stuck with a body that isn't responding to my thoughts or my brain. Ooh. You know?
Yeah. Ugh. That one's a tough one to answer because I feel like they're both awful.
Awful.
But I would want my mind because it's mostly for the kids. And if I had the ability to talk and communicate my mind, if nothing else, I'd want to be able to at least see them grow and understand it. You know what I mean? Like be taken to events of their life and milestone moments or things like that. Name three things you and your partner have in common or appear to have in common. Now, is that you and
me?
Or is that like you and John and me and Chris?
Well, I feel like if this is written that it's supposed to be
falling. Do you think we got stuck on the same thing 4 years ago?
Probably.
I think we did. I mean, I'm sure we did. Okay.
So what do we think?
Let's do you and me. Yeah.
Well,
what are three things we have in common? The podcast.
Yeah.
History.
I was gonna say sense of humor.
Like characteristics. Okay, I was thinking for sure sense of humor.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted also to say Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Does that count? Like a love.
Sure.
You know, we're Swifties.
Yeah.
That bonds us.
I would say like the things we have in common have also grown. Like it used to be like, oh, we're girls in college. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like same stage of life. And now it's like, oh, we're both like women who have aspirations of our own and juggling like motherhood and marriage and like all of these things. I think we both have a zest for life and adventure and enthusiasm to like explore what this world has to offer.
We are both very good at celebrating everything big and small.
Oh, that's true.
I would say.
Yes.
Non-celebrations of things.
Yes. I would say we're both spicy in our own ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Different levels of spice. Not levels. Yeah. You said it. In our own ways.
Yes. Okay. For what in your life do you feel most grateful?
I mean, don't you feel like anyone who has kids is going to say their kids? Like their family?
Yeah.
So, like, except for kids, should we say? Or should we just go with that? Because I feel like that's kind of like the catch-all if you have kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so besides children, for what in your life do you feel most grateful?
Oh, God, I feel grateful for a lot of things. I feel grateful that I'm alive during this is our generation. I think I'm a little scared for what comes after, for the next couple generations, like with the planet and things. You know, everyone will figure it out, but that seems a little scary. And then, in the past, women just were not respected.
Yeah.
Very well. I mean, we're still working on that. So I feel like I'm very grateful that I was born when I was born and I'm alive at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has given me an immense amount of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really grateful for never giving up when I hated myself deeply, and that I get to see the life that was waiting for me on the other side of all of that struggle. That's probably like, I could have, I don't know if like I ever would have given up, quote unquote, right? I'm saying that Revy's on my lap, but I think I could have stayed miserable for like not done the work to get out of the mindset that I was in years ago. So I'm very grateful to have worked to get to the other side of that, like self-loathing.
I am grateful for the time I get to spend with the people that I love, to have love, to have like it really, I knew that. And then actually it was with our call with Erica where it was like, it was like, whoa, yes, she nailed it. And I always knew that. But then to hear someone else say it, like that my purpose here is love, I was like, yeah, this is like that. That's it for me. Like
what fills you up?
Yeah. My family and my friends and time. You know,
with them, with said
and
people.
Experiencing the world in the way I get to, you know, All right. Let's do, there's all these different sets. So we're going to do one more in this set.
Okay.
Okay. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
Well, okay. So I wanted to initially take away some of my trauma triggers. Those probably made me, but those are like very top of mind. But I actually think if I could make up, like, does it have to be a real ability or can it be a superpower?
That's spend it. It can be anything you want.
So I think I'm going to go to, and I've said this before on the pod, if I had a superpower, I would want to have X-ray vision where I could pull back. You know, it's like a map of the sky or like something. I can look at a map and it'll say these people in this house. You want to know them. They're going to become your best friends. Right? Like these people over, like I want X-ray vision to know who is supposed to be in my world. Or like sometimes people on social media, right? Like a lot of my really good friends I've met through social media, and maybe I'm talking to some of them now, or maybe some of them are in my groups now, but I don't know who they are. And I think like, what if I never got to know Shannon and like somehow she slid through the cracks and she wouldn't be in my life?
Yeah.
That would suck. So I'd like the X-ray vision to be like, oh, this one. You know, fireworks are going off. Pay attention to this soul because you guys are going to be tight. Thick as thieves. That's, I think I'd like that quality.
I would like to be able to cure people with my fingertips or my hands.
Oh, wow.
Just to be some sort of like amazing healer. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh my gosh, that would be very cool. That's way better.
That's huge. But like if anyone had anything going on or myself, right? It's just like,
oh my God, you'd be like, COVID? We don't have COVID. Zap. We're happy. Zap. We're good.
Oh yeah.
You'd be able to, I'd be like, call, we got to push the pot. I'm not feeling good. Pop. Oh, I'm miraculously better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also the big things too. Yeah.
Dude, you know. I'd be like that guy. There's this one guy. I remember Oprah did an episode of him.
Oh yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. He'd like put his hand on their head and like,
yes,
they'd be able to, blind people can see again.
And he'd like shove something up their nose.
Oh.
It was like, his name was like Father John or something like that. And like, it was wild. And Oprah went to go see him. And
like,
I want to Google like,
walk.
Where is that guy today? And what's he up to? Because that was mind-blowing.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't have a superpower to like heal everyone, you can at least shop at Thrive Market, which means you'll find everything from healthy pantry essentials to sustainable meat and seafood to non-toxic cleaning and beauty products. And it's all delivered right to your door. Thrive Market is like a superpower in and of itself because this is the place. Like it is, so you can find anything you want there. I stress so much less and it arrives so quickly. It's kind of freaky deaky, spooky, super amazing. The prices are spooky good. When you buy from Thrive Market, you can save up to 30% off the best organic groceries. If you're looking for things like low sugar or keto, gluten-free, they have all these filters that you can hop on there, and it makes it super easy to narrow down exactly what you're looking for, or take all the filters off and just browse around, which is what I love to do. I found the cutest, like I always, they've got awesome snack stuff, right? For Ben, I always go in there and browse the kids stuff. I always get the staples too. Like they have amazing marinara sauce and like amazing pantry staples. But then I go on and I like to look at like the makeup and stuff too, just for fun to see what they have, because I'm getting into like cleaner things for my face. And I found this one, like it's like lipstick and the cheeks. You know, you just kind of hit everything at once and just like dab it all in. And I freaking love it. With Thrive Market's fast and carbon neutral shipping, you'll also save a ton of time otherwise spent in grocery lines and parking lots. Best of all, when you join Thrive Market, you're joining a community of 1 million plus members and sponsoring a family in need.
Get convenient, high quality, affordable groceries delivered with Thrive Market. Join Thrive Market today and get a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/sip to get a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/sip.
If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
Oh, shit. I think I would only want to use it. I mean, it's so hard because what I was about to say is I think I'd only want to use it to know like the immediate future. Like,
yeah,
it's decisions that I'm struggling with, right? Or like, it's a quick flash of like, how's this going to look in 10 years? Don't give me any specifics, but like everything's gonna be fine, right? Rev and Mac are still good. We're still healthy, whatever. But then I also am like, what if we go and like I go in the future in 10 years, one of my kids isn't there and what happened to them? And then I'm going to be like waiting over the next 10 years, terrified of what happened to one of them or me. I'm sick in a bed in 10 years. Like, I don't know if I want to see that. And I don't know if I actually, oh, you know what? I guess you could show me the lottery numbers.
There you go.
I'll take
there
that.
There you go. Yeah. I'd be curious. Yeah, I don't want to know things about myself or my life. Because to your point, it's like, I don't want to be just wait and see. Like, oh, how does this lead to that, lead to that, lead to that?
Yeah.
Or like totally demotivated. Like, what's the, I don't want to become a, well, what's the point? You know, chip on my shoulder type person. Yeah, lottery numbers would be cool. Like, access to things, like going to something really busy and they're like, some kind of light beacon would shine on parking spots just for me that no one else could see. So I like would know where to go, you know, little hacks. I'd like little futuristic hacks.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, that's a cool idea.
You know, I'd like to know if people are going to live on Mars. Like, I'd like to know the way future, well past like my life,
your lifetime,
probably my kids' life.
Oh, OK, that could be interesting. Yeah.
You know, like what is going to look like several hundred years from now?
Mm hmm.
That would be interesting to me. Okay.
That would be cool.
Also,
I would kind of like, speaking of that, wouldn't mind looking several hundred years ago.
Yeah.
You know, we can see that kind of in the history books, but it would be cool to like really experience it.
Yes.
Emerge, but like safely, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
What do you value most in a friendship?
Probably when I think about the people that I love spending the time with, my time with the most, I think it's humor.
Yeah.
And my gut first said loyalty, but I don't know if someone's loyal until I'm like, I don't think, you know, when we first started our friend, I didn't know that you were loyal, but I still liked you right away. So I feel like humor is the first thing that is going to draw me to someone and like keep me excited about them. And then loyalty comes later.
Yeah. Yeah. Humor for sure. I'm with you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I value ease in a friendship too. Like where it's just easy to like, you know, there's not, how do I put it? Where it's like, maybe it's that there's just like a lot of grace or that it's just that there's acceptance for who you are. I think especially like, being a parent now, you know, sometimes you get together with friends and it's like hard to keep up a conversation, but it's like there's a lot going on. You know, the friends where you
like
can show up and just
act with kids and stuff.
Yeah. Or like Or even if you're just like zonked and you're tired, where you can just show up and you can just be, and there's an ease and there's not expectation. You don't have to try hard. You can just be, come as you are, stay as you are. Like,
you're there's loved just, as you are.
Yes. Yes. Okay. What is your most treasured memory?
That's a weird word to me.
Yeah, because it's like, is there one thing?
Yeah. I have lots of times that I would not trade for anything.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like, okay, it's like marrying John, my whole wedding week. And I think almost, well, I know you can say the same thing. Like the wedding weekends, when you have all your favorite people there, are just unbelievable. And then like you become this union. It's so cool. Obviously, my kid's birth. If I could go back to another time to do it differently, I think we've talked about this. I would trade to go back to when Rev was born and just have more peace and ease, knowing it's going to be okay and you'll get through it. And like, I don't know. I would like to have second child brain with my first child, you know?
Yes. Yes. I do know.
Because I feel like I missed out on a lot of bonding and peace when I first brought Rev home, which is probably just part of it. But then I have lots of memories. Like I still think about that time when we went to Taylor Swift in Denver, as that whole day was one of the best days. Do you remember we went for a walk with all the girls and we went out to eat, and that was where Lindy or someone slapped each other with, it was like a little garnish and a drink that had a hand. Yeah. And we got it on slow-mo and we laughed our asses off. And oh my God, that whole day is one of my top 10 days of my life, probably.
Yes.
So much fun. And then I have other, you know, other memories like trips when I was little, and I would say certain things with my career that were huge milestone achievements. So I don't know if I can say like, oh, I treasure this memory more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is the birth of the children. It's hard to, for anything to top that in my mind, because it was like such a wild experience to, you know, to physically, emotionally, mentally, all those things. What is your most terrible memory? This is an awful question.
Terrible memory.
What's your most terrible memory? I mean, mine was...
I know one of yours, I think.
What?
I was going to say the accident you saw in college.
Oh, yeah. That was awful. I saw a really traumatic accident. Yeah, that was awful. And then the ectopic, I would say the death of our pets. Deaths of our pets, deaths of people we love. Yeah, they're all terrible memories. They're all like tied for first. They suck.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I didn't think about deaths and stuff. I don't feel like I have terrible memories.
Well, that's good.
Obviously, I have memories I don't love, but I'm such a, like, I'm at this place with my brain where I believe everything happens exactly as it should. So I was supposed to process that grief. I was supposed to do all of that hard stuff. I was supposed to have that heartbreak. I was, you know, like, I just, some of it is still painful to think about. Like, there's still some things that I'm processing through that is really painful, but I know it's important for me to process. Like, I know that that's an important part of my experience. So I don't feel, and even death, like I have a lot of peace and different idea now because of Erica, really, and like doing work with consciousness, I have a lot of peace and comfort with death. I also believe, like, yes, the hardest thing I've ever done, hands down, is put our dog down. That's the most deep despair I've ever felt, for sure. But also, like, okay, but I wouldn't take that back. What? How do I take it back? I wouldn't, you know, like I'd still have, cause I think your grief is, to the level of love, you know? So like, I wouldn't take that back because then what? I wouldn't have Brew, or I would have had her and not loved her as much. And no, I'll still take the grief, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly, would you change anything about the way you are now living, and why? I mean, I would pull the kids from school, right?
Oh,
like, for sure. quit.
Yeah, I think I would change like everything.
I'd change everything. I'd pull the kids from school, quit my job, sell this house. We pay for the cabin in cash. And then we try and figure out how we see friends and family as much as possible.
Yeah, I think we'd travel. I would hire a, and I would probably figure out a way to, yeah, spend time with friends and family, whatever. I think I'd want to travel. And then I'd hire like a professional photographer and videographer to follow us around. I wouldn't be on social media anymore. I wouldn't work. I would just be spending time with the people that like, I wouldn't be caring about the legacy outside in the world. It would be like the legacy in my own home and in my own nucleus, like with my friends and family and stuff. Yeah. Just living every day. But I want the photographer and videographer for my kids. Cause if I was going to die a year from now, they wouldn't really have, they probably at some point wouldn't remember me.
Yeah.
And not too far of a future, you know? So I'd want those memories for them.
Smart. Smart. I'd record a lot of podcasts for them.
Oh, yeah.
Videographer, podcast, all of it.
I think instead of podcasts, I would, like, I think you and I would go, if I had a year, you and I and maybe with our families, because I can't imagine if I have a year that I want to take any time away from my kids, you know? Like,
totally.
I think I want all of my time to be with them. But then also, it'd be really fun to, like, for a year, you and I rent a house in somewhere, you know, San Diego or Italy or something with our families. And then we just do a bunch of vlogs. We just vlog the crap out of it. And
yeah,
maybe a couple podcasts go out. I like video.
Yeah.
It takes you right back, you know?
Yeah.
That's a cool.
Yeah,
now I kind of want to die in a year. I like the way that this is sounding.
No. When did you last cry in front of another person or by yourself?
Wait, what? What did I last try?
When did you last cry? C-R-Y. In front of another person or by yourself?
I almost cried in Dallas.
Ooh.
Teary-eyed.
Mm.
Telling a story about one of the things that I'm grieving through right now.
Mm.
I'm trying to mouth to Colleen, but I don't know if she's picking it up.
Oh, I can't. Your video's a little frozen on the thing. Text it to me.
Okay. But it was just a little teary-eyed, and then I was okay. When did I cry? I think the last time I cried... Well, wait. I think I cried at the Kardashians, maybe.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
The Khloe episode. Khloe and Tristan. I feel like I cried. Probably at a book. The last time I cried in my real life, where it was because of me, was when Brooke Castillo was coaching me. And that was just a vulnerability thing. It wasn't like I was very sad, or I was just like, it felt very exposed. And that's kind of something that happens to me, is I cry when I get extra, extra vulnerable.
Mm.
What about you?
The last time I cried from like big feelings that just had to come out as water out of my eyes was... weeks ago, postpartum, when we were going to do the cabin trip, and it was the packing leading up to the cabin trip that I just, and then it was at the cabin, because Ellie was in a leap and it was like a breastfeeding moment that was just hard to figure out what was going on. And like, she was gassy or something. And it was like, she was in so much pain that then I just started crying. You know, those things where you're just like, your hormones can't take it anymore.
Yep.
And then.
Oh, man. The newborn stage, I feel like I cried almost every day.
Yeah. That.
Over something.
But I haven't had any of those moments. And since then, like, it's been a really smooth situation. But then I cry a lot. I'm very sentimental with life. So like.
Yes.
So like yesterday. I was watching Ben play and he just was so happy, like, that I got teary eyed because I was just so happy he was happy. That happens all of the time.
Yes.
All the time. If you were going to become a close friend, it says with your partner. But so this is assuming that we don't know each other. This is like two people, right, who are going to fall in love. So how about we say, if you were going to become a close friend with someone we don't know, please share what would be important for him or her to know, like, about us.
Mm. I don't know. What?
Like, what? If you met someone tomorrow, and they were going to become a close friend with you, but they didn't know you yet, what would be important for them to know?
I can't think of anything. I'm like, you'll just figure it out. We'll just learn about each other and then we'll decide if we like each other or not. I can't, yeah. I don't feel like that's, again, to me, it's, that question is like, for me, evokes not having faith in the universe and that like you're supposed to be experiencing this person in this way. I don't want to be like, you know, of course I can say the standard things like, okay, I'm, you know, highly, highly sensitive, but I also have like a hard exterior and I really value loyalty and I like have a very direct, like I can say all the things about me, but it's like, well, you could just learn that. How does that, you know, it's like, you got to kind of experience, I got to experience, you can tell me who you are, but I got to experience you to see if I actually really jive with you or not. And so if I could tell you who I am. But that's, you still don't really know if you're going to like me or not based on paper.
I would probably tell them that I'm not really, I'm not going to call you, but that doesn't mean I don't want to be close or whatever.
Okay.
Like just as like a procedural thing, like, hey, keep your expectations low of how much I call you on the phone.
That's a good one. Yeah.
You know, just so that it becomes,
I don't show my love through phone calls.
Yeah. That's not how you're going to,
That's a good one. Okay.
Okay. What, if anything, is too serious to be joked about?
Child abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of topics, I think, because there's this thing where it's like, nothing is off limits because it's all, if it's a joke, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the nature of the question is, do we agree with that sentiment? But I don't know how this question makes the mix of us falling in love. Unless it's just, actually, I do see how it makes the mix, because it's like exposing what people think is like, if there's something that should be, like what is important to them, you know?
Yeah. I can laugh at most things. Like I would have said racism, and maybe I should still say that. But I remember going to Lisa Lampanelli years and years and years ago, and she makes like, you know, a lot of stereotypical jokes, but everybody is laughing, all colors, everyone, you know, like, so I don't feel like she's like doing it to like a gross degree where it's completely inappropriate. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then there's been other thing. Like I just saw there was a thing that came up on my TikTok the other day about politics and it was making fun of Democrats, basically like woke Democrats. And I was like, because normally, because of the echo chamber, I don't get a lot of Republican-facing things on my feed. But I felt like that was a Republican making fun of Democrats, and I laughed at it. I thought it was funny. I think there is, for me, when it comes to abuse, really of any kind, like domestic abuse, for sure, child abuse or human trafficking, if anyone ever, or like someone, you know, disability, there are things where it's like, that for me, it's like, oh, if you're going to joke about those, or if I was meeting someone and they were like, oh my gosh, have you seen this stand up? He jokes all about like human trafficking or like this person that's disabled. I think I would judge that person to be like, okay, well, you definitely are not someone I'm interested in then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's to me like a handful of topics, all the ones you mentioned, racism included, that is like, it's just not, I'm like, this is not funny at all, you know?
Yeah.
There was a stand-up that we watched recently, and I've never turned a stand-up off, but it was a stand-up, and it's fine. Like other people, there was a crowd full of people laughing, but to me it was like, well, I'm not enjoying this, so I get to turn this off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
in a free world or whatever, it's like they can make that joke and I can turn them off, so I did.
Yes.
But it was about, people who are disabled and like just openly, blatantly, like just joking about the R word and stuff. And that to me has just zero place in my heart. And for those of you who are new here, I have very personal reasons why. So okie doke. Your house containing everything you own catches fire after saving your loved ones and pets. You have time to safely make a final dash to save any one item. What would it be and why?
I don't own anything sentimental like that. I would grab my trust book, I think.
Your
that
trust
has like all of our information.
Oh, like yeah. Documents, do you guys have a trust? So you don't have to do paperwork.
Well, it's like that. Everything. So it has like all of our login, all of our here's our accounts. Here's how, like it has every our whole life in there. I feel like.
Ooh, yeah.
And I asked them what, and I asked that question because they were like, "This is a very important document." Blah, they made it very, and I was like, "Okay, so if our house burned down, is this something I would want to make sure to grab?" And they were like, "Well, I mean, we can make other copies, but if you had time, yes, this would be an important thing."
Ooh.
I don't have anything else that's sentimental. I don't care about any, like, oh, my grandma's quilt. I don't care. It's all, I don't give a, I'm not a sentimental person. Like I don't really, I'm not sentimental about like heirlooms or I don't save like my baby's clothes.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it would be something that's like functional. It's going to make my life easier. And it would be the trust, I think.
There are some
or things- nothing. I would just watch it burn.
There were some things we got that were Chris's dad's that were like his what do they call him? He was in the Air Force, and so they were like his blues and like flags and a few things, medals that are I know are really important to Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the same way as you. There's nothing. There's no things. Outside of like there's just I would probably grab some documents so that we would like save the hassle, not have to do like paperwork and stuff or file back with Social Security, because you all know how that went for me in my name.
Yeah.
And if you're new here, you got a lot of listening to do to hear that story. But yeah, I would grab those because I know they mean a lot to him, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, if you were to die tonight with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you most regret not having told someone, and why haven't you told them yet? Is there something left unsaid?
I mean, in my world,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever not said anything that I've ever wanted to say. I don't know if I've ever not said something. that's not me.
Yeah. Is there one thing you'd want to drive home then? Something you've already said? Would you have? Would
if I was
you
be gonna able die to today,
leave this earth? Yeah.
If I was gonna die today, I don't. No. Mm. I'd probably bawl my face off. Like if I was dying tonight, I would be. I don't even know if I could enjoy my children.
Yeah.
Which is who I'd want to spend my time with. I would be so sad about leaving them this early.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a terrible question.
Yeah, these are really vulnerable.
Unless I'm
these
99 like, and I'm already on my deathbed, then appropriate. Like, yeah. What other door do you need to close? But I'm not. I have no place. If you're telling me right now that I'm going to die at 37 and I'm abandoning my two kids, no. There's nothing I need to say that's going to change the fact that this is absolutely unbelievable and unfair and I don't want to do this. I'm not ready to die. You know what I mean?
Okay. Last question.
Okay. Well, wait, what about you?
Same. It's like a traumatic question to even think about answering. So
yeah. Like today? Get out of here.
I know. It took a turn. The last, I got to say, so there's 36 questions. We're answering, I don't know, 2/3 of them or so. But it goes.
We're doing pretty good.
The sets get more and more intense. And like the last couple on this are like that.
Oh, yikes.
Like, we're not going to answer this one, but like, of all the people in your family, whose death would you find most disturbing and why? Like, these questions, man. Like,
whoa.
They get really, they close out really, really intense.
Yeah.
I remember after we did this episode, people wrote in like that they did this with their spouse or with people that they didn't know well, but wanted to get to know better. And it like totally worked. Like they felt close.
Closer.
It is
bonded.
Very vulnerable. Okay. Last question. Complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share. ...
No, I don't like that question.
What? Okay.
Because I feel like I don't have any... I am so open that there's no part of me that I'm still hiding from the people that I love, right? There's nothing that's like, I wish I could share what? The love of this with someone I like... I don't feel like I have a need like that in my life.
I have a need.
I have
musicals. What? Chris doesn't like them. Ben and Ellie are too young for them. I've been like, I want to watch like La La Land and Moulin Rouge. And like, I wish I had someone with whom I could share a great musical. every now and again.
That is the wow.
What? It's like just a small answer, and I just didn't overthink it. This is like top of mind because I saw a Moulin Rouge Peloton ride, and I thought, there we go. Maybe that's my.
Because I'm thinking, like, you can still watch those, but yeah, you
want to
like
sing with someone.
Says the person who didn't ever finish Hamilton.
No, I saw it live. I went.
Oh, that's right. You
live.
Went. Did you ever report back?
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it. I feel terrible saying that. I think it got too big before I saw it or something.
Too built up?
Yeah, I was just expecting my whole world to change. And then it just didn't. It just was a good musical to me and I didn't love it. And I thought, I actually questioned, and I still kind of do, like, why are people so obsessed with this? I don't actually quite get it, but I thought it was good. It was very
good. Don't you think that I feel like people are obsessed with it because nothing's ever been done like that before, like that sort of rappy type.
And maybe it's because I had inadvertently been exposed to it before seeing the whole thing. So it didn't feel that new because it had been around for so long. I saw it so late.
Okay. Yes.
Right. I don't know. But the storyline, that was fine. I mean, it's history, you know, like whatever, but like the way they did it, I thought it was fine. The rapping was fine, but I couldn't actually understand all the words during it. So it was like, it went really fast and I was like trying to parse out. I didn't love it. I liked it.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. You're not going to answer that question. So I have to find one more question for you.
Give me another one.
Okay. Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?
About how I will die?
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be old age.
You think?
Uh-huh. I heard the other day that 1 in 2 men get cancer in their lifetime and 1 in 3 women get cancer in their lifetime. Do you think that's true?
Because
that's way higher than I thought.
I mean, some kind of cancer at some point, you live long enough, it's going to be cancer.
Yeah.
You know?
But I feel like I'm going to be, like, it's going to be an old age. Just like, oh yeah. She's
like the queen.
Old.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, no,
I know you already.
I'm one up on you, so now we're
okay.
Even.
So that's my last one.
Yes.
High performance beauty and skincare. You know, we've been getting into this lately, like caring about not just what goes in our body, but also on our skin. So when Thrive Cosmetics wanted to partner with us, we were like, yeah, we're in. They don't use parabens, sulfates, phthalates. It's certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And Cause is in the name for a reason. Every purchase supports organizations that help communities thrive. So it's good for you and it's good for, you know, the world. Actually, I just got my latest shipment. They sent me 2 of their brilliant eye brighteners that I love. They're like these little eye crayons. They're not super fine tip, but you can get pretty detailed with them. I'm obsessed with those. Their mascara I actually have on currently.
Same.
The Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara.
Yep.
It's the first vegan tubing mascara. It's their best-selling product. It's got more than 20,000 five-star reviews, and it mimics the look of lash extensions without damaging glue or, you know, having to go sit in a chair or pay those salon prices. And then they've also, I just got, did you try the lip tint yet?
No, that's on the way to me.
Yes. Okay. They just sent their Sheer Strength Hydrating Lip Tint. It feels so good, and it adds just a hint of color. But
those
it feels
are my
so
favorite
good.
Kind of things of all time. Oh, I can't wait to try this.
It's like butter, and it says here that it lasts up to 6 hours, which is pretty wow factor, you know?
Yes.
And so not only are the products amazing, but I mentioned the Bigger Than Beauty promise, which is Bigger Than Beauty is for every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. And they have over 300 giving partners across the country supporting numerous causes. So there's certainly something that you would feel called to that they're supporting that your purchase also.
Now is a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. You can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/sip. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/sip for 15% off your first order. Dude, those questions are so good. Like, doesn't it feel when you bare your soul to someone, there's like a little bit of a hangover after, like not a bad one, but you're just like, what's the feeling? It's like, that was a little workout of the heart, you know, feels good. Like the post exercise of the soul or something, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I don't have that feeling now, but I could see if I were dating someone and was highly interested in them, that I would have that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it would be like, I'm excited to get to know you more.
Do you think that if you were dating someone and they're like, hey, come over and I'll make you dinner, and then they like had you answer those questions, would you be like, whoa, this person is a keeper? Or would you be like a little spooked?
Those are not first date questions. Those are like, I would say fourth date.
Yeah.
Fourth to eighth date questions, I feel like.
Yes, I agree.
You know, like make sure that there's some compatibility here. And then, oh, let's learn some things about each other this time. Yeah. But if someone was like, come over, I'll make you dinner. And then they were like, hey, I've got this fun exercise. I'd be like, I'm not interested in learning about the deepest parts of you. I'm just interested in learning. Do I even think you're funny? Like, you know, what shows do you watch? What foods do you like?
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to know the depths of your soul. And you don't need to know mine. So I think I'd be like, you're too, like, if this is your first date, you're going to be very heavy and intense. And I'm not up for that.
Yeah.
That's not Good Time Charlie. Good Time Charlie's not doing that.
No.
You know?
Yeah. It's also a lot to be like, hey, I'm going to rip through 36 questions so that we can fall in love. And it's like, well, what if I'm not ready for that yet? Like, what if I don't know if that's my destiny with you? You know? So
I wonder if it would be a cool, like, I never did speed dating. Yeah. But maybe it would be a cool thing where you're like, okay, we're going to go and, or like a game, a TV show. Like the TV show should be, you know, like you're going, everyone's going with the intention of finding your soulmate. And these questions are going to get you there.
Yeah.
So you got to get in deep, get in quick, you know, like I could see that those questions being a part of like the bachelorette experience first date, but not in my real world first dating.
You know? I have a question for the squad. And this maybe is corny. But it's kind of like falling in love and fall in love and like as a hangover for this episode. Did you have a moment with someone like your spouse or whatever where you knew there was something you did or something that was said where you're like, you knew that was the moment you loved that person? You know?
Well, with John, I remember. So we went out. It was the baseball game. And it was Thirsty Thursday. It was July 4th. And we were in Eugene in Emerald's game.
Yeah.
So I went with Lindsay, you know, our friend Lindsay, and then Stefan and David. And those are the guys that I lived with senior year. And we went to the Eugene Emerald's baseball game and then saw John there. And Lindsay, frickin', I've never been more turned on by a girl in my life. And I don't know if that's the appropriate term. I wanted to be her. So there's a pop fly, foul ball. And Lindsay, we're walking up the stadium steps and someone says heads, she turns around, she leans over the railing, leans over, and she's got like a beer in one hand, leans over, barehanded catches the foul ball. And the whole stadium's like, what? Yeah. So anyway, the fact that John was interested in me after that and not Lindsay, unbelievable. But after that, then we went to
Lindsay. That's such a Lindsay story.
Oh my gosh. I should tell her
about
that.
She's a cat, man. She'll always land on her feet. That girl is
unbelievable. I mean,
sporty.
Beer in one hand, leaning over the railing, backhand. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
And of course, Lindsay, you know, she just holds it up and laughs like, like this was nothing. No big deal, guys. Okay. So then we went to Sixth Street, which was Thirsty Thursday. And then after that, we went to, I think it was called the Rock and Rodeo, and danced. And he was making me laugh. And I thought he was cute and I was interested in him. But then the next day, I drove from Eugene to Portland. And so we were only texting. And he was making me laugh out loud over text. I don't remember what the texts were. I wish I said screenshot of the conversation way back then. But I do remember talking to my mom and saying, I don't know, this guy, there's something special about him because he was making me laugh over text messages. And that is rare. Like, it's hard to do, I feel like. LOL, legitimately.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was the time I thought, oh, shit.
I love this guy. Yeah. I want to hear stories. Well,
oh, that wasn't a question to me. That was just to the squad.
Yeah, it was to the squad, but I love that you took... I love that there was, like, you're like, I got it. I got you, call.
Yeah.
My fear. Yeah. No, but I want to hear stories from the squad on if there were those moments. This is a perfect example of what Ashley just said of, like... Because sometimes, you know, I think this is interesting is, like, what if someone someday said, we did this crazy thing that we heard on a podcast and we answered 36 questions and then we knew we were in love? You know?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, you know? That's interesting.
But yeah, no, there's definitely moments with Chris I remember, but like the most, the night I met him, I went home that night, was making macaroni and cheese with a buzz. I've told this story a lot, I feel like, but I told our roommate at the time, Casey, because we were all living together. I was like, I met someone tonight and I think he's going to be really special in my life. I don't know how, but I have this feeling. I know he will be. And that's kind of cool. But all right, let's bring it home. Do you have a rant this week?
My rant is center seam. Have I done this before? Center seams on leggings?
No.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Center seams on leggings and bike shorts.
Yes.
Like, it's not, I'm also, as a feminist, I'm like, okay, well, we shouldn't have to be ashamed of the camel toe because guys are very proud to show off their packages. Like, it's like a thing. But yet, if a girl shows off her camel toe, then it's a thing to make fun of her for. But I also just don't, so I know that there's a part of me that's like, free the camel toe. But then there's the other part of me that's like, I don't want to see a camel toe. I just want it to be smooth sailing down there. And when you've got the center seam and you pull up the leg, I mean, I probably have one right freaking now. And these, well, you can't see because they're black.
Yeah.
But the center seam,
it'll get you.
You just see what kind of heat I'm packing down there, you know? And I just think there are such things as leggings and biker shorts that do not have center seams. Why is that not across the board?
Dude, I really.
It should be everyone.
Think. That there is, like, I think the athleisure, the sporty market, all these things for women is, like, there's a lot of money still to be had for one company to do it all really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking center seams. I'm talking enough.
Affordable.
I'm so over, and I've talked about this before. This goes way back. But the freaking pads and sports bras.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, I like Handful does it the best because they have the big things, but like, I'm over it in general. Why do we have to have pads in there to make a sports bra work? I don't get it.
Right.
Come on.
Why don't you build just a thicker lining?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
If the point is to hide the nipples or something, make them smooth, why don't we just make them permanent? Yeah, I agree.
And annoying and center seams and like things that. Like aren't high or too low. Like it's weird.
Right.
I think there's a big space for really good athletic gear for women.
Yeah.
You know, at affordable.
But also,
because
I'm wondering, there's so many luxury brands. Like maybe it exists, and I'm not willing to fork out the price for it.
Yeah,
so it's got to be like affordable too.
Agree.
You know.
Agree.
Like, yeah.
My rant is just, and this is just fresh, of how hard it is when the whole household gets sick. And having, as a parent, you get no sick days. Like, to be down and out and not be able to rest. And, like, you wouldn't have it any other way, right? Because it's like when your kiddos are sick, that's the ultimate. It's like you're
the worst.
Nothing else is right in your world until you can help them feel better, right? But then it's also just physically rough when you can't just rest, you know?
Yeah.
And man, it gets me every time where I'm like, this is just wild being sick and fully active, you know?
Yeah.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely the worst and the hardest.
And I will parlay into my rave and then you can bring it home because it's related. But then my rave is health. When your body feels good again, when you feel like when we turned a corner with Ellie with sleep, where we like woke up, we're like, oh my gosh, we feel rested again. Like whether it's anything physical, even just like being however pregnant and then your body gets like healed and healed and healed post baby, like in the postpartum, you're like, oh, I can do a sit up again. Right. Just like physical health. Oh my gosh. To have that.
Yeah.
And there's just little
That's
reminders.
The most important. Yeah.
And nothing that has happened to me is like, you know, I'm not talking like a major thing. Like, I can't imagine not having, right? Like, but I was telling Chris, we were on a walk, and I was like, you know, kids are so motivating because you just want to be as healthy as possible so that you have energy for them, mm-hmm. you know? And like, mm-hmm. just to be feeling, you know, we're well now, the house has made it through, like, just fine. But I just was thinking, like, man, health is the best, and having it.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You forget, like, how good it is. And then you get sick and it takes you out and you're like, I can't, my brain doesn't function. I'm not sleeping well. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, I'm achy. I was just like, yeah, the energy, all the things. And so you're like, oh, I just want to feel good again. Yeah.
Yes. What is your rave?
My rave is just going to be closing on the house.
Yes.
So we closed on, it's crazy because, so we closed end of September, whatever day that was, last Wednesday. And I was sick. I was deadly sick, I felt like. And but then I had a little dopamine hit when John came in. He's like, oh, it's recorded, we own the house. So we went over there. But we're trying to pick a move-in date because we're gonna do some work on the house, and so we want that to be done before we move in, so we're not moving into a construction zone. And we decided to pick like to try to give him as much time as possible the last week of October. So looking at the calendar, and I was like, 5 years ago, well, 10 years ago, October 27th, John and I got married in Santa Monica. 5 years ago, October 27th, we closed on our first house in Arizona. We moved to Arizona. And that was crazy. And now we're going to move on October 24th. So that week, now 5 years later, on our 10-year anniversary, we just bought this home that I don't think I would have ever, even 3 years ago, this home would not have been in my, like, realm of possibility. So it's just wild, and the way that the timing is working, because we didn't plan it like that. We're like, look, like, okay, when can we give them the most time? Oh, it's that week. Whoa, this is a significant week for us, like, over the course of our relationship. This week is, yeah. So that's base. And we were going to try to go on a trip this year, but we don't have child coverage, so that's going to be, I guess, our 10-year anniversary gift. Is that house. So
it is a new adventure.
It's a new adventure.
Quite an adventure. That is awesome. All right, you guys, we love you. Don't forget to email us at youcansipwithus@gmail.com with spooky things. And you can sip with us always.
And we will
see you next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Bye. Bye.
Want more You Can Sip With Us? How about another round of your favorite podcast? We
Sign me up.
Join us for another round over on Patreon. That's where we give you the down and dirty. We get raw and real. We raw dog it over there.
Oh, yeah. Every Friday, at least, we drop Friday episodes over on Patreon and additional content. It's all ad-free. You can sign up. Go to patreon.com/ You Can Sip With Us, or download the Patreon app and search You Can Sip With Us. Become a patron. $5, guys.
It's $5 a month. I mean, just give up your latte one day. One day out of 30 days, boom, paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. Totes, kabotes. Do it. We'll see you over there.
KCO.
Every Friday,
love
guys.
Love you.
Bye.
You're our crew. Bye.